This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. Mark joins us in just a few moments. A temporary site to house ag containers for shipping has been planned for another West Coast port to help reduce port congestion and improve timeliness of shipment to markets. It's in Seattle. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack explains.
As we announced this program, what we've seen is interest in it, questions about it, and it's stimulating thought and innovation. And so our hope and expectation is that as we look at other ports, we may be considering this, whether it's on the West Coast or whether it's in the Southwest or whether it's on the eastern side of the country. We're looking and continue to look for ways in which we can help move product more efficiently and more effectively. Because when you do, you essentially increase the supply. When you increase the supply, you essentially balance it with the demand. And when that happens, you have stable prices. And hopefully lower prices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. But Mark, you're not in Lubbock today, actually on the road, right?
Yes, Tony, I am on the road. It's good to visit with you today. I'm actually down in Austin today for the meeting of the Texas Independent Genders Association. And so that's ongoing right now. We were down here in the heart of Austin and actually had quite a bit of excitement last night, as I'm sure you've seen on news reports. We had tornadoes popping just about 30 or 40 miles north of here. There was some damage from some tornadoes that were on the ground down around Round Rock and down around Georgetown and Granger. So it was quite exciting last night. And I understand, too, that there was some rainfall last night up in the Panhandle. As I've been down here, I've been visiting with some of our genners from the Panhandle. And also, I had a chance to look at the Mesonet reports yesterday evening, and I saw that in the Panhandle, that the town of Panhandle received 1.91 inches. And I also saw some pictures here of a little bit of snow, and then I understand they got a rainfall event in Amarillo, followed again by more snow. And I saw a picture there in Amarillo where the snow actually had covered the ground. And so, you know, it's so extremely dry across our entire area. Tony, whenever we make comparisons to this time of year in 2011, believe it or not, we were actually in better shape in March of 11 than we are in March of 22. Now, of course, we things went south very quickly, and then even as early as June, the early summer of 2011, we were in just exceptional drought. And we're already there in many areas this year, and we certainly do need some relief. I know that time is not necessarily on our side, that time is growing short in order for us to get fields ready and to have a good feeling about the moisture profile that we'd be dealing with this year, which is virtually zero in many locations currently. So I know time is short, but from what we saw last night, we do know that that can still occur. And so we'll continue to be optimistic and hope that we'll get some adequate rainfall in here to do some good in order to get some crops established across the area.
Well, you hit on it again, going into a drought. Well, we are in the drought, as over 90% of the state in drought conditions. Much of the Panhandle, South Plains, low rolling plains region, all in areas of D3 drought or deeper, D4. So obviously that's a concern as we approach spring planting season. And that's got to be one of the decisions that producers are having to keep in mind. How do we approach this year? We've got ARC and PLC and maybe some insurance stuff behind us right now, but there are quite a few decisions between now and planting time, right?
Yeah, there surely are. And you are right. We've got some important decisions that have already been determined, and that's the ARC and PLC, as well as crop insurance sign up. Other than that, up to this point, there's been very limited field activity. And, you know, as we grow closer to the season, I have seen a few guys that have gone out and done a little bit of field work, whether they might be doing a chiseling operation or maybe are beginning to cut stalks. But I've talked to many producers that are really concerned, and in the sandier country especially, they're afraid to cut those stalks because whenever we have those high wind occurrences, they're just afraid that the land will turn loose and they'll get too much blowing. Gosh, I can't remember a year that we've had such factors that producers are having to deal with. First of all, we've got a very good commodity price. Looking at December cotton being up over a dollar, who'd have thought we'd have had another poor day? But then you add to that supply chain issues, not being able to get fertilizer and chemical inputs that are much needed. Look at inflationary rates, the instability because of the war in the Ukraine, and along with that, these high diesel prices. So a whole myriad of factors that producers are dealing with. And as you mentioned, the elephant in the room for us is the drought situation. And just really difficult right now. And so producers are still, I think, maybe determining what to plant. They're certainly looking at the list of varieties. By the way, I might mention that both the race variety trials from the Extension Service as well as the performance trials from AgriLife Research are out that have variety testing for different varieties as well as disease ratings. And those are things that producers need to be considering and looking at. I know also that producers in trying to determine what they might be able to get planted and being ready to go if they get that adequate moisture, they're considering fixing cotton prices. They're considering sources for fertilizer and being able to secure the fuel that they might need for the season. And I have talked to producers that are looking at trying to get a contract in and get some prices fixed on some of these various inputs. The one thing that I have heard at meetings, and I certainly want to pass along to producers, is not to wait too long. Be sure and give very adequate time, because our suppliers are also very concerned about getting stuck with inventories that they might not be able to move, along with extremely high transportation or shipping costs. And so I think we're going to be looking at a lot longer time period that it's going to take to get these inputs in many cases. And so I just encourage producers to stay in contact with your seedsman and your fertilizer dealer and your chemical dealer and make sure that you're out in front of the game on that.
Well, let's bring it home now. There's an event that's coming up right around the corner. Actually, something we do every year, but it seems like we're getting back into a little bit of normalcy here as it's tied back in with the Texas Cotton Ginners annual convention and gin show in Lubbock, something known as Plains Cotton Growers Annual Meeting. What's happening?
That is right. We've got our annual meeting coming up April 1st. We did hold an in-person meeting last year. However, we were unable to hold the Texas Cotton Ginners Gin Show. And so we're now looking forward, as you said, to some degree of normalcy and getting back to being able to have that gin show there in Lubbock. That, of course, is a two-day event. And so we're looking forward to having a booth exhibit out there on Thursday and Friday, visiting with producers and ginners. And then on Friday morning, as we've done in the past, this will be April the 1st, we will be holding our Plains Cotton Growers annual meeting. And as always, we've got both a breakfast and a lunch sponsored. And so we certainly want to invite people out to that. The breakfast We'll get started at 7:30, and then registration begins at 8:30, and the meeting will be called to order by our Plains Cotton Growers current president, Brent Nelson, and he'll call the meeting to order at 9 o'clock. We feel like we've got a very strong agenda and a list of speakers that producers and ginners and everyone in the cotton industry are going to really enjoy hearing. We will have a farm policy panel, a list of panelists from various producer organizations that will be talking about how things are shaping up for discussions on the next upcoming farm bill. Then in addition to that, we're going to be talking about carbon contract evaluation with Tiffany Lashmit with Texas AgriLife Extension. We've got Peyton Harper that's coming from the Fertilizer Institute, and he's going to be giving us information on these fertilizer markets, on supply and demand factors that we're all currently facing, and hopefully give us some insight there. And then we'll have our keynote address by David Wasserman, who is the house editor for the Cook Political Report. And I know he's going to give us some good insight to this upcoming election that is not too many months away. And we'll see what happens from that standpoint and see what his thoughts are in terms of where we stand on the division of leadership in both the House and the Senate, in which all of that rolls down through the committees that we work with as well. So I know we're all extremely interested in this, and he's very informative, and we look forward to a good report from him. So certainly we want to invite everyone out again on April the 1st to the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center for the Plains Cotton Growers Annual Meeting. It'll be our 65th.
And again, if you're interested in that, is that an RSVP or show up?
You can certainly just show up at the door. We never mind anybody calling and visiting with us for more details at our Plains Cotton Growers office in Lubbock. But if you just want to show up on Friday morning, April the 1st, come in there at 8:30 and we'll get you registered and we'll have plenty of room.
Again, Mark Brown is with Plains Cotton Growers. You can follow online at plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Learn more about Plains Cotton Growers and the upcoming annual meeting online, plainscotton.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
U.S. honey production continues to decline. USDA is out with its honey production report covering last year's output. Travis Averill with USDA Statistics Service told us.
In 2021, U.S. honey production is at 126 million pounds, which is down 14% from 2020's production.
But this time it may not all be due to lost colonies. USDA reports the number of colonies did decline last year, but by far less than even 1%. However, Travis says last year,
yield per colonies averaged 46.9 pounds, down 14% from 2020.
So honey production and colony yields both down 14%. Now, 20 years ago, the U.S. produced 171 million pounds of honey. 10 years after that, we were down to 147 million. Last year, only 126. So a 26% drop over the last two decades. USDA does report, though, honey prices last year going up by 21%. Gary Crawford, Washington.